to make the most of every opportunity, what we say is, well, you know what? Today is a new day. Today's a new day. This week's a new week. This coming year is going to be a new year.
Welcome to another Rock Podcast. Let's join Pastor Bill Barnwell for his continuing series in the book of Colossians. This message entitled, Make the Most of Every Opportunity.
If you have a Bible, open it to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, as we talk today out of making the most out of every opportunity. Making the most out of every opportunity. We are just 1 week away from finishing this sermon series. And if you have been with us even for the past 2 years, you'll have seen that we have preached through verse by verse now 5 different books of the Bible. And if you continue to stay with us, we will continue to go verse by verse in these different passages and learn from the Word of God. I think it's one of the best ways to do it. And as we get to the end of Colossians here, Paul is now just kind of giving what seems to be like miscellaneous instructions here and there. And we're going to talk about some of them. And then after that, we're going to have a time of worshiping through communion. And then we are going to have our annual meeting following that. So I'm just going to jump right into our passage. If you have a Bible, read with me Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And the message I've entitled, Make the Most Out of Every Opportunity, from language right here lifted from Colossians. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to us in this remaining time in our service. We pray, Father, that we would have a good time of worship through your word. We pray, Father, that you would meet us where we're at when we partake in communion, and that you would be with us and give us wisdom and guidance through the annual meeting. We want to pray for those who cannot be here for one reason or another today. We want to pray for those that are mourning the loss of loved ones this morning. We want to pray for those who are dealing with physical, emotional, or spiritual affliction. We pray, Father, they would find strength and comfort in you right here, right now, encountering your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that this service would be one that's honoring and glorifying to you. We all come to you, Lord, with unclean hands, far from perfect, but we give you thanks for the risen Christ, Jesus Christ, whom you have invited all of us to have a personal, knowing relationship with. We thank you, God, that you are a personal God, that you are not unknowable. You have made yourself known to your people. We want to pray for this entire body of Christ this morning. We want to pray for our community that in which we are ministering. May you give us persistence and perseverance throughout the remainder of this year as we now enter the Christmas season and worship and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the first coming. But as we look towards the second coming, which could be in our lifetimes or could be hundreds or thousands of years, we don't know. We don't know. But with the time that you have given us, Lord, may we make the most of every opportunity. May we always have an answer for anybody that we come across who wants to know you. And may you give us boldness and a vision going into 2019 and beyond. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right. So in this passage here today, this is after Paul begins talking about different rules for the household, for society and such. And then he goes into some broader cosmic orientations for us as far as how we are to live our lives. And there is a constant string here in this passage about basically taking advantage of the time that we're given and not squandering it. So if you're taking notes right now and you want to write down the theme of our message today is is. Do not squander. Write that down. Do not squander. But instead, make the most of every opportunity. Do not squander, but instead, make the most of every opportunity. It is amazing how fast and quick life goes. Am I the only one here that feels that way? I'm a bit of a dork, if you guys didn't already know that, and one of my favorite things to do is sit around and watch cable news and documentaries. Yes. Excellent. You know, me and Lori were at a Christmas party yesterday, and these guys were downstairs that were watching football and hockey, and I had no idea what was going on, but I sat there and pretended like I did. Felt like a real man there for a moment, which was kind of nice. But then I went back, and I like to watch my... But anyway, we were watching a documentary about global events in the 90s, and that was like 20, 25 years ago all of a sudden. And I'm like, where did time go? I remember that like it was yesterday. And somebody's like, that was yesterday. What's the big deal? But time goes by so very fast. How many of you are on social media? How many of you are on Facebook? Probably most of you, you know. Do you ever get those things that come to your timeline like, on this day, 8 years ago? Remember that? Or if you got kids or grandkids, there's a picture that comes up and they're tiny and now they're big and they're demanding your keys and money and everything. You know, it's like, how did that happen? And we might think to ourselves, well, you know, Nick, first of all, we don't even know. Do any of us know if we are guaranteed tomorrow? No, we don't know that we're guaranteed tomorrow. James says, why do you sit and plan and prepare for tomorrow? You don't even know if tomorrow's going to come to you. And James also says that our life is like a mist. It's like a vapor. Like when you, although it's 50 degrees right now, it feels kind of good. It's going to be cold again tomorrow. But when you go out and it's cold and you breathe out and there's that vapor there, and then that condensation, then it's gone that quick. That's kind of like what our lives are like. And it says in the Psalms that God looks down, we're like grasshoppers, you know? Showing us basically in the grand scheme of things, our lives are very, very quick amongst a lot of, in fact, I think, what are we up to? Like how many billions of people that live around the world now? 9 billion or something like that? But yet still, God knows each of us is calling all of us into a covenant relationship with him. But life and time goes fast. So we might think, well, you know, next week, if it comes, that's a while. Next month, that's a while. In fact, I was just talking to somebody this morning, like, wow, it's already close to the end of the year, already the end. And we say that every year. Wow, can't believe it. Because that's how fast life goes. So for those of us that always want to put stuff off, does anybody here, I just got done teaching a spiritual gifts orientation class. How many here have the spiritual gift of procrastination? Probably many, many have that gift. You know, it just seems to come natural that we're just going to put stuff off, right? Isn't it human nature to just want to put stuff off and then all of a sudden, wow, everything's here. And an analogy that I always like to draw is, like for me, going to the dentist is a terrifying experience. Although I do go every 6 months, although it terrifies me. I didn't used to always go every 6 months when I was a little younger and a little more irresponsible. And I think I had to get a root canal when I was in my early 20s, and that was not fun. And then they had to put a crown on it, and that was even less fun, all right? So I always tell people, you know, fill the cavity now or get the root canal later. It's your choice. What are you going to do? You're gonna do the little heavy lifting now, or you're going to do a lot of heavy lifting later on? But yet, that's kind of a negative example because it's the dentist and drills, and that's, you know what I mean? But we have a lot of positive opportunities in front of us on a regular basis. Look around at all the people that are here this morning, and this isn't even all of our people, all right? What if all of our people literally were doing what this passage says in terms of devoting yourselves to prayer, praying for one another, essentially, praying that God opens a door, proclaiming God's word, and availing ourselves to others? What would happen if we all were in concert and praying and expecting God to move? Tom Pearl, I know I'm speaking your language here right now. What if we were all doing that and not just talking about it, Not just the pastor talking about it on Sunday morning, but the pastor actually doing it, and all the people actually doing it, actually trusting. What do you think? Do you think that there would be a difference in our spiritual temperature when we gathered together? Absolutely. Now, the beautiful thing is, it's right here. You don't need to go to classes for this. You don't need a certain amount of money for this. You don't need anything except being available and having a willing heart. Now, we don't know if tomorrow is going to come, but if tomorrow does come, you have that opportunity. Every single day is a day that God has given us to worship Him, to praise Him. And everything else that comes our way. And how many days do we just blow off? How many weeks do we just blow off? Months? And we get in routines and we get into cycles. But instead, what if we all actually came together and lived out these few profound verses? It's not a matter of can we, it's a matter of will we? And I want to submit to you as we, because I know not everyone's going to stick around for the annual meeting, so I'm going to basically force all of you to hear what I would otherwise say afterwards. As we are looking into 2019 and finishing out 2018 and looking in the years ahead, let's not just treat it as another day, another week, another year. Let's view this as something that, you know what? We don't know if we're going to be here 12 months from now, 24 months from now, but yet we are. We might be here for years to come. But we're not going to take it for granted. We're not going to take advantage of the gift of life that God has given us. We are going to apply ourselves to prayer, to being watchful, to being thankful, to proclaiming the gospel. I tell you what, if we committed ourselves to just these several verses and believed it fervently and believed it passionately and lived it out, you will see a profound difference. Not that there's anything bad right now, but you will see a profound difference in the spiritual climate and temperature of our church. So the first thing that Paul is committing the people to in chapter 4, verse 2, is a global command of prayer. You can write that down. A global command of prayer in verse 2. Here, I'll be a little vulnerable, if you want to call it that, for a moment here. Paul talks about devote yourselves to prayer, that this is something that would be continual. My mind is always moving 1,000 miles a minute. Laura, can you attest to that? Once in a great while, there's nothing on my mind. I'm just in this peaceful, blank, serene state of whatever. But usually, my mind is going 1,000 miles a minute, and that can be my prayer time a lot. But there's I know for me a lot, I like to do my thing. I like to pray my own way. I like to just be kind of lost in all my thoughts. And I don't always connect with other people and have that fervent connection that I probably should or could have. And we've done something in our country, and partly that's just my personal disposition to make up, but we've done something in our country, and it's kind of more prominent in the Northeast, where, well, my faith is personal and private, and I don't talk about it. It's there, but I don't talk about it. Right? Have you heard that one before? Well, I mean, there's things about my relationship with my wife that are, but I mean, I don't, like, if somebody asks me, so how's Lori doing? Look, I don't talk about that, all right? That's personal, and that's, is she doing well? Hey, look, I told you right now, you know, I'm proud to be married, but I don't talk about that. we would all say that's absurd, right? That guy needs some help or something. What's going on? But when somebody maybe wants to talk to us about Christ, or in my case, I've prayed with many before. I don't mind, but I guess my point is this. At times, I will pray a lot, but I like to pray in my own little corner, and that is necessary. That's vital to have that time. But it's also essential that God's people come together in community and not just the Sunday morning service, as important as that might be, but on a regular basis, whatever that might look like. In Acts chapter 2, the people were meeting together regularly and praying regularly, and I know that we don't live in the first century, and I know everybody's busy, and I know that we got jobs and kids and responsibilities and grandkids and yard work or whatever it might be, Netflix. I know a lot of important stuff. And we always hear this statement when we throw something at people, or we cast an opportunity out there. We might say, it sounds really good, but I'm what? Busy. And what do we spend our time on? When we say that we're busy, or if we're not doing something and we're doing something else, it's because that which we are doing is what to us? It's important. It is important. So if we say that we are too busy for prayer, let's just be honest with ourselves. What are we saying? That it's not as what? Important. Do we see where that could be a bit problematic? Now, I'm not saying, because I don't do this myself, but I'm not saying that, every waking moment that we have, it's got to be consumed with reading the Bible or, going out and doing some church event. Or I'm not even close to saying that, because for some of you, if you're honest, you don't even have your own private prayer closet. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not picking on anybody, because we all have room to grow. But if we're to be honest, some of you probably aren't doing much of anything. And to make the most of every opportunity, what we say is, well, you know what? Today is a new day. Today's a new day. This week's a new week. This coming year is going to be a new year. And it's kind of like going to the gym, to use this analogy that I've used before. If somebody hasn't been working out at all, or in years or ever, you don't just go and want to bench press 500 pounds or do 25 miles on the bike. As good as that sounds, nobody's going to do that. But maybe, and you start with a little bit. You start with something. You start with something, and you begin to where something that feels a bit foreign to you starts becoming a part of your DNA. And that can even be something where Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and be thankful. Be aware of your surroundings and be thankful. It's easy in life to draw a focus on everything that is not right, correct? On everything that's not ideal. We can all sit around and think about so many things, if we wanted to, that about anything, about the way we look, about our life, our financial situation, our churches, our spouses, except for mine, about anything. We can sit and talk about things that are not optimal. And that can suck all the air out of the room instead of thinking about, wait a minute, here are all the ways God has blessed me. Think about all the different ways that God is good. And that I'm a blessed child of God. We need to focus more on that as opposed to everything that isn't right. We could sit and play that game all day long, but we're not abiding by this passage, which is going to put us in a much more healthy, forward-thinking spot if all we're ever doing is focusing on that which is not perfect. If you only are going to be happy when everything's perfect, then you're not going to be happy until you are in the new heaven and new earth. And that's a problem if we're just waiting to die, or waiting for the resurrection, I should say, before we think we can find happiness. That is not what God has given us. The focus of Scripture is not that we're just, you know, waiting to die. 99.5% of Scripture is about we who are living. And what God has, you know, he's painted a picture of greatness for eternity, but it's, you know, it's this life which affects that. It's the decisions that we make in this life, it's the people that we impact in this life. And I'll talk about that just a little bit, that impact that eternity. And God has given us a lot of ink here, so to speak, about the here and now and what we're to do with the here and now. And to be thankful for what we have in the here and now. There's always things that aren't going to be ideal. But it would be helpful at times if we just sat and marinated in God's goodness. And you know what? If all I had, if I had nothing else, if you took from me my health, if you took from me all my money, if you took my family from me, if you just beat me into the ground with tragedy, and you know what? Quote, all I had was the resurrection. I'm still a blessed man. Because it is that personal and eternal hope that I have in Christ. So what we see in verse 2 is a kind of a global command of prayer. And verse 3, if you want to write this down, is an others-focused perspective of prayer. This others-focused perspective of prayer. But we have to do it. Verse 2, you know, this is not something we just do next week or tomorrow. Do it now. Verse 3, pray for us too, so that God may what? Open a door for our message. Why? Just to build a church? Just to have more people sitting in pews or chairs? No. So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Now, verse 3 has a lot to unpack there. We could preach on that for an hour if we wanted to. So Paul, who is in chains, Colossians being known as one of the prison epistles of Paul, he's asking others to pray, says, pray for us, Paul and his fellow workers. If you want to talk about somebody who could just sit and focus on the negative, Paul was in a position to do it. The guy is most likely literally in chains. He's being persecuted. He's being harassed. Would any of us feel like writing this letter if that's what was going on? And not just writing the letter, but saying, you know, pray for us so that we can do more. Not just so we can retire. We've kind of had a good run here. I think it's time to call it a day. He's saying, pray for us so that what? God may open a door. We need to pray that God will continue to open doors for us and others in our midst to minister to our community. It's one thing to pray, which we should, that people would find an open door here. And I get that. Once in a while, people will be like, you know, we were passing through. I've gotten this the last couple weeks. We were just passing through, and we thought we should go to church today. Oh, that's great. I wish hundreds more had that impression. It seems that supernaturally, many people wake up every single Sunday and feel that they have an open door to the farmer's market or to one of the restaurants or whatever, you know. Not as many people in our culture just wake up on a Sunday morning and say, you know what I should do? I should go to church. That's great if they do, and some once in a while do, and we ought to pray that hearts are stirred and that people want to come to us. But let me just be honest right now, that's the easy way of doing things. It's also, by and large, the old way of doing things. Because in the old days, and you might say, well, life was better than whatever, but, you know, in the old days, there was nothing to do on Sundays. Everything was closed. Everything was closed, and there was a social pressure and expectation that you were going to go to church. And again, a lot of this was not rooted in a good mindset. You know, parents, well, I don't want the Smiths noticing that we weren't at church, and my kids better be dressed well, and everybody was going, everybody was dressing up in their Sunday best, and all this stuff. But a lot of it, to be honest, was for appearances. It wasn't all really sincere, but the bottom line was this. It was something that culturally everybody was doing. I don't think it necessarily meant that in the 40s, 50s, whatever, that people were more spiritual than they are today. I think it maybe had an appearance of that. I don't think, no, what happened was people just had more options now. What do you think? If they didn't have more options back then, that it wouldn't look right right now? But yes, we should pray that people feel an open door here at Rock. And it'd be great if people just come to us. But was that Paul's message here in verse 3? Was he praying that, I pray that people would find an open door to the jail that I'm sitting in right now and come join me for services? It's not the way that things worked. They did not have corporate gatherings the way that we do in this very embryonic proclamation of the faith that existed in the early 60s in the first century. Paul was praying not everybody come to me, but how can I go to them? And we have so many opportunities to go to others. On a daily basis, many of you here already are going to job sites. On a daily basis, you are going to schools. You're going to community groups, parent groups, whatever it might be. On a regular basis, you get to come across others. I know for me, having a secular profession has been one of the most spiritually useful aspects of that, because it regularly puts me around other people. And for years before that, I was pretty much just around people like me. Now, I need to be around people like me. It's helpful. But it is extremely useful. And some of you have even seen just the fruits of those of us that we come across in everyday life that we're able to form bridges and connections with, because we're able to go to them. At our deacon meeting this past week, Tom had brought up, hey, you remember we did this a couple years ago, and we did the God, Beer, and Life events. It was a trendy little name, kind of gimmicky. But, wow, did people want to come to those events to talk about spiritual things? Simply because I was doing it downtown, as opposed to doing it here. So this going to others can look so many different ways. You certainly don't have to do what I'm doing, and or was doing, of, you know, going downtown and, you know, or even with the things that I do here with the comedy night, with the, you know, the plays that I've done and I'm going to do in the future. You don't have to do stand-up comedy. You don't have to write dramas. You don't have to go and have PhD discussions with people. Think of all the different ways that we are able to connect with others today. It is amazing. So think of the things that you're already interested in already doing. How can you connect with other people? How are you connecting with other people? And Paul's focus wasn't just on social connections. He wanted to proclaim the mystery of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, a message that was so threatening to his established order that he was in chains. But he was thankful, and he was looking for a way. He was saying, pray for me, pray for us, Paul and his fellow workers, so that we're going to have continued opportunities. And then he says in verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So that when we are around others, and here, let me just qualify again. I'm not saying every human interaction you have should be, you know, you meet somebody, do you know Jesus? Yes, that is part of my little stand-up bit. I talk about how I evangelicals, we love talking about Jesus. You know, that's what we want to spread the gospel, but the problem with evangelicals, I joked around, is that they want to talk about Christ even when it doesn't make sense, you know? And I say, hey, you know, do you think the Lions are going to pull it off? Well, do you believe that Jesus Christ is rose from the dead? You know, it just comes off a little strange. You know, hey, did you see that oil prices have fallen? Hey, have you seen that Jesus is risen? Yes. If you do that, it will repel people, and it will be a little weird. So it's just being natural. You know, you don't have to force it. This is the thing. You don't have to force it. When you're just doing life with people, it's going to come. People know that you are a follower of Christ, or they know you're heavily involved in your church. It's just going to spur discussion. You don't have to be awkward about it. Okay? But Paul says in verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. There might be times where you have opportunity to go deeper than just surface level. In fact, if you really want to get into some deep prayer or deep theology, that's going to require a deeper relationship with people. You know, somebody that you don't know is not going to want to hear it. They're going to think that they're just a mark, they're just a target, and you see them as means to an end. And they would be right. But there are times where we will have those opportunities to go deeper. Pray that we might be able to proclaim it. And then Paul says in verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. So to kind of bridge this into our annual meeting here, I want to, you know, going back to what I said earlier, not just see 2019 as yet just another year. What if it's a year that we say, you know what, we've been doing some good things, and we have. We've seen some good things at Rock, and just to kind of give you a little summary of my report, which we're not, you know, we just throw those in for your FYI, you know, we have seen just through my ministry and the ministry of others, we've seen keep people come to the Lord this year, we've seen people be baptized this year, we've seen new members this year, we've seen new people become a part of the life of our church, we're seeing emerging leaders, we're seeing a lot of different things, which is good. We should finish in the black again financially this year, unless something very bizarre happens. I believe we will, though. We're presenting for you a revenue-neutral budget, but yet is focused on investment. We're investing in different things in our church that are going to help propel us to go to the next level. I'm talking to all the different ministry teams and wanting to do everything that we do it with excellence, not just for showmanship, whether it's the welcome team or the missions team or the tech team or the worship team or whatever. We want to continue to make the most of what we've been given. We're going to present to you during our annual meeting another emerging leader that we want to see sit on our leadership team. We're investing in other people. We have a growing children's ministry that I want to see grow even further in 2019. But these things are not just to grow a church. It's not just to grow an institution. We're not a business. We're not just looking to sit and exist, okay? We are a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of God's church that will prevail against the gates of hell, which will continue to have a place in this world until Christ comes back. We are a part of this 2,000-plus year movement that is founded on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being the hope of the world, the resurrection, being, you know, the gospel, the good news, salvation. This is the hope of the world. The church is the body of Christ that is here to spread this good news. So yes, we want to step up our game even further, if you want to call it that, but it's ultimately we have to be focused on why we're here. We're not here just to socialize. We're not here to hear a motivational sermon every week. We're not here to sing. There are elements of that, but we are here first and foremost to worship the risen Christ. And our daily lives, that should anchor our daily lives. So I want you to ask yourself something. Before we enter into a time of communion, I want you to ask yourself, what is my place? What is my place in the body? And some of you might already know that. Well, I'm on this team. For me, this church is extremely important and valuable. It's an extremely valuable part of my life. And I am privileged and blessed to be here, for my family to be here, to minister to each of you. So when I throw out this challenge, I throw it out to myself as well. In the remaining time of this year and going into next year, how can we make the most of every opportunity? Not squander the days, not just procrastinate, not just put something off till tomorrow or next month or next year, because we don't know if there's going to be a next month or next year. There might be, but there might not. For somebody, there's a strong, you know what, we don't know. So how can we take the gift of life that we've been given and maximize it every day, every year? So what do you see as your place? Are you involved in anything yet? First of all, if you are involved or you're heavily involved, busyness doesn't mean effectiveness, right? I would rather see some people be less busy and more spiritually in tune, more effective than just full of stuff to do. So all of us should be doing a spiritual inventory of our lives, number one. Then we look at the time that we have. How are we using our time? How are we budgeting our time? Are we wasting a lot of time? When we say we're too busy for things, would we have the time if we cut the fat out of our lives? You know, the empty calories out of our lives that are really not serving any good purpose. If you're here and you're saying, as we talk about, first of all, we say for somebody to become a member of our church, we want them to be here at least 6 months, at least, give or take. You know, just to see if there's a fit. Maybe this coming year you say, you know what, I want to formally become a member of Rock. And is that, you know, do you need to become a member of a church to have salvation? Well, no, of course not. But there's something about it, it's significant when you say, you know what, I am a part of the overall body of Christ. And I'm standing with this congregation because I believe in their mission. I believe in their core values. I want to be a part of the seek, serve, send. I want to be trained up here so I can go out and disciple others. I believe in this vision of, you know what, this is a community here in Royal Oak and our surrounding areas, Madison Heights, Berkeley, Warren, all these different places, Ferndale, all these places that we have around us, that this is a place where people can come and know Christ, come as they are, know Christ and be developed. And this is a place where families can be trained and raised up. If you believe in this vision, we would love to have people want to take next steps with us as we further this mission of spreading the gospel in our communities. Or there might be others who say, you know what? I have been here. I've been taking things in. It's been good. But, you know, I want to give back. I want to get involved. When people say, well, you know, I want to be fed. You know, the best way to be fed is to get involved and to serve. So if you're looking for a way to serve, we have so many different opportunities for people to get involved. And then you think about your life on a whole. How are you interacting with those around you? Are you the most effective person? You know what? You're not going to be perfect tomorrow or next week or next year. But are we maturing and growing as individuals? That is the key. Are we growing in our knowledge and relationship with Christ? And I want you to consider these things as we go into our annual meeting and as we go into the future. And regarding the future, these are things that we think about until the time of physical death or the time of Christ's return. And one thing that God has commanded us to do is not just worship Him, but in our church, we have what we call two different ordinances. You maybe have heard the word sacraments. Other movements like Catholic Orthodox Church will use that terminology and they have kind of a different theological view. We look at one of our ordinances being communion. Communion is where we recognize the body and blood of Christ. The body of Christ, the perfect body of Christ that was given for us on the cross, the blood of Christ that was spilled for your sins and mine. Because all of us, myself included, fall so short of God's standards. But the price has been paid by the blood of Christ. So we make the most of every opportunity. We should be doing that in all aspects of our worship as well. And I'm going to ask our deacons and those assisting with communion to kind of get ready here. But I'll tell you what, it's easy when we come to this point in our service. I've done it, you've probably done it, where we just go through the motions. We know that they're going to come up, he's going to pray, stuff's going to be passed. Okay, I'm going to hold on to it, I'm going to think about lunch and other things. Okay, it says eat, okay, eat it now. Okay, I'm going to get the... Haven't we done that before? Probably a lot of us. Let's truly use this time and have a moment of silence here to reflect everything that we've talked about. None of it would be possible but for the life and death of Christ.
Thanks for listening to the Rock Podcast. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, why don't you come by and meet us sometime? We'd love to have you. Even if you're not, we welcome you to our extended Rock family. feel free to connect with us at rochurch.org, rockchurch.org. There you'll find information, service times, directions, links to our social feeds, information on our programs, and anything else you might need. If you have a comment on this podcast, feel free to drop us a line. And thanks again for listening.